Welcome to the Art and Science of Complex Sales. You've joined us in the Coaching Quarter. This podcast is dedicated to elevating the sales profession. Our listeners range from first-time salespeople to seasoned sales leaders and driven CEOs. They all come to learn from the best in the business as we interview top sales transformation specialists, go-to-market leaders, revenue thought leaders, and more with only one question on our minds: how we get better together. This 12-episode quarter brought to you by Membrane.com will start to hone in on a key element in performance: sales coaching. Each of our guests speaks to this a bit differently and brings their own unique take, but all cover the topic, how to execute, and the exponential impact it makes. So let's start shining bright and get kicked off with today's guest. Hey, we're shaking it up. We're stepping to the plate today with a fractional COO, Ryan Johnson, founder of Three Sparrows Executive Services, and we're looking to knock it out of the park in the world of sales and operations. We're diving into Ryan's unique journey from the baseball field to the boardroom. As a former athlete turned entrepreneur, Ryan brings a fresh perspective on discipline, leadership, and strategic thinking, and he shows us how these skills are transferable and crucial within the business sector. Not surprisingly, effective coaching is critical to his success. He shares his playbook on relationships, transitioning into entrepreneurship, the art of doing more with less, lessons that any business, any sales entrepreneur, regardless of size, can benefit from. So let's get started. Ryan Johnson, welcome to the Art and Science of Complex Sales. How are you?
Thanks. Doing well, Paul. Thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Well, I'm super pumped about it. Very pumped because we're going to do something that we don't always do. And I really want to ensure that we dive into this more. We're taking a look at sales from other aspects of organizations and how they integrate well. And so I really want to highlight one of the things that'll be fascinating about this is your current role is kind of a fractional chief operating officer. So you see sales in a variety of ways and have come to that in a variety of ways. So I think this is going to be a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I have quite the different pathway into sales. So I think do my best to share that with you.
That's going to be fantastic. And actually, why don't we start a little differently than we do normally? Why don't we start from the beginning? Ryan Johnson, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, your story, what's gotten to where you are now?
Sure. Yeah, that's I'll be succinct because it is a long one. But to sum it up, 23 years in higher education, starting with the first half of that career in baseball coaching. And that was a passion ever since I was little. I can ever remember just wanted to play Major League Baseball like a lot of little kids. I just didn't grow out of it until I was 27. So I enjoyed that, had an opportunity, was not a pro prospect in high school, not in junior college. I went to a community college to get started, but then really developed at a small school after community college and had a chance to get on the draft board for the Phillies one year. They took JD Drew instead of me. I don't know why, but they chose him. I think it was a good decision. And so I played independent league baseball for about 5 years. It was really starting to grow back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So got 5 years under my belt, played with a lot of guys from the AA, AAA, big league level. So I kind of lived my dream in a roundabout way, got paid to play for a while, and really, you know, just followed that for as long as I could. But then baseball coaching was knocking at my door. My former college coach wanted me to coach with him, and then got a job after that once I had to leave for another spring training. And then stuck there for a while and made the transition from a Division II school into a Division I school, and really got to really figure out how to recruit and, you know, just run daily operations. I was an operations guy for the team and really enjoyed systematically putting things in place to get things done. So that's where that started. But then the Lord called me out of baseball coaching. Didn't know really what. I had 3 months to figure it out, 3 months of savings. And within a month, I landed at another college and was a recruiter for an online program and in class, but an adult degree program, and really helped that school grow and just kind of put my recruiting, or sales, I guess you could say, experience to work, and had a lot of success there. And that just got me moving up the pipeline, that didn't mean I was a great leader at the time. I just was doing a good job. And so they just kept promoting me until I landed at vice president for enrollment management for about 7 years, middle management, upper management before then. But the executive leadership experience was quite the eye-opening experience. And so I oversaw the recruiting of students process, several different systems and processes across the campus, and really learned a lot about leadership and systems and processes, but also the sales process too. So that's what brought me here today.
Well, that's great. So you step out of that too, and let's take the final step, which you decide to go and be an entrepreneur. What made you take that?
Yeah. Yeah. So another God leading for me, you know, just, it was just time to move on. And so stepped out on faith and, you know, for 12 months now, have been building this solopreneur job, you know, business, and I've worked with a couple of good clients and really moving forward with my business and gaining clarity all the time. And, I just knew after a lot of discussion with a lot of people that I knew when I left, you know, what do I want to do for the second half of my life? You know, I'm 47 years old. And, you know, when you get older, you just want more of a significant life. Like you want to do something that means something for people. And not that it didn't before, but I wanted to replicate that and do that for more people. So the fractional space, fractional executive space really made sense for me to help multiple small businesses at one time through executive operations leadership and training and development for their teams. It just really matches up with my skill set. And so I love doing it, and it's building momentum, and I'm excited.
That's wonderful. And one of the things that so fascinated me about your story is just the evolution of it. And for you must be taking the self-discipline and that leadership and that you had to have to get to that level in baseball. Mm-hmm. How did you take that and then immediately apply it to the recruiting career? And then how has it grown since then?
Yeah, I mean, you do develop, you're right. You develop a lot of grit. You develop a lot of can-do spirit and to try to figure out, especially since I wasn't the most talented baseball player to live, you know, and I just had the drive and the ingenuity to figure things out. And so that carried over into coaching and then to executive leadership. You learn how to do a lot with a little. And that's my tagline right now is grow more, risk less. You know, you look at programs today, coaching programs, for example, those with a lot of money don't necessarily mean they're going to be the most efficient and the best at what they do. I always said that you'll find the best coaches at the lower levels, because you have to figure out how to recruit better with less funds, less facilities, and that sort of thing. You have to learn how to win with lesser talent. You can't just plug in a 5-star wherever you want to, you know. So same thing applies for business. You know, I'm not the most talented and smartest guy out there, but I feel like I've got a lot of ability to figure things out and come from different angles and ask good questions, listen really well, and apply things in a way that's going to get things done. You know, I had to be so disciplined with what I did that it just carries over into the business world, that there's a lot of good plans out there, but a lot that don't get executed just because people aren't willing to be held accountable and to be pushed and coached. And that's what I love to do. That's the success that I had. And I really enjoy now filtering that into the small business world.
I heard accountability. I heard systems, coachability, and grit. I'm going to take that. I'm going to step over here for a second. And now I'm going to ask you the question that comes in from your perspective, Ryan. Define sales. Like, based on that history and what you've worked and what you do now, what does sales mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. It starts with relationships. You can't sell anything to anybody if they don't trust you. You can't recruit anybody to come play for you if they don't trust you, if their parents don't trust you. So it's all about relationships. Then sales is also just connecting the dots to the clients and customers' needs to what you do. So I think if you do that really well, there's no salesy, there's nothing salesy about it. You know, when we say salesy, it really means sleazy. Like you're just trying to get the sale and you're not worried about the relationship. You're worried about the transaction over the relationship and what you can do for that client or that customer. So it's all about relationships and then connecting the dots to their problems, helping them solve their problems or get them to a future state that they desire.
Now take that and also put it through the lens of your operational. What do you need to do sales well from an organizational perspective? Like if you're in this fractional COO, fractional executive, what are you looking for that you can take that and make that relationship factor in connecting those dots across more than one person?
Another great question. Yeah, it's been quite the learning curve for that. So now when you're in higher education, you're essentially selling a very high ticket item. So it's not new to me to have a high ticket item, but to be able to nurture relationships with those types of high ticket items, you just got to cut through the fluff and you have to find out what are the problems and you have to build that trust. And so there's a lot of value that I want to give and that I do try to give for free. And, you know, I'm constantly, I do daily posts on LinkedIn. I do weekly blogs. I get people sign up for a free newsletter. I do free strategy sessions. I'll have as many free strategy sessions as I need to build trust with somebody to show, hey, this is what I can do for you. And this is what I'm going to commit to do for you. It's hard to hand over the keys for a small to medium sized business owner, hand over the operational keys to someone that they've just met. You know, I've got someone in the pipeline. We've been talking now for 9 months, just kind of routinely having meetings here and there, emails. Yeah, have you checked this out? Have you thought about this? You know, how's it going? You know, that type of thing. And just building that relationship, following them on LinkedIn and, you know, congratulating them on their wins, stuff like that. That's what it means to be a team member. And I think from my coaching and playing days, you understand how to be a team, and you can't insert yourself into a team unless you're willing to play as a team. So really trying to gain their trust with a lot of value add for nothing, for free.
No, that's a really interesting take. I like it in terms of if you're going to insert yourself, I'm going to see if I can restate what you just said, but you're playing on a high level team. You need to be able to insert yourself into that high level team. Mm-hmm. And how you choose to do that is by continuing to deliver value. Mm-hmm. And to make yourself indispensable and then attaching value and currency to it after a set amount of time.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a pretty good summary. I would say though, I would back out of that a little bit and say, I'm not trying to make myself indispensable. My goal is to get them to the next level. So I want I want to fill in that leadership gap, you know, help carry that burden of leadership. So I take on the operations and the direct reports of the operations. Or if they don't need that yet, I just come in and fix a problem, work with a couple team members. Let's just fix a problem. They don't have time to fix it or train their people. They don't have the time and a skill set to do that. So all of these different things play into that fractional role at different times and different levels. But my goal is to bridge that gap. So once they get to 10 million, 10 million is really the first level of sustainability, that they can make a decision. Hey, do I have the profit margin to bring on a full-time COO at 150, 200,000 plus benefits, or do I want to keep rolling with a fractional? So my goal is to eventually work myself out of that contract for their good, you know, but if it's still in their best interest to keep me on as a fractional and save money and it's working, which I believe you can empower from a strategic level way more than what we do. And I was an executive, full-time executive for a lot of years. And I think I could have done that even more efficiently in a fractional role and saved a lot of money and stuff. So I'm really trying to help, and that's my nature. And I hope I can work myself out of the job for them, because that means they're growing and they can move on to another level if they want to. But yeah, I mean, that's, you want to show that you can help. And so I guess with all the free information, I want to say, hey, I get it. And I know where you're coming from, and this is how I can help you. And if it works, great. If not, yeah, I'll let you know who can help you.
So let's shift the lens a little bit. Let's now take you from Ryan Johnson, your own business owner, right? And now let's put you in the seat of Ryan Johnson, fractional COO for company X, company Y, company Z. To be able to do that really well, there are some things that you need, because operations does not exist in a silo, that you need from sales teams, you need from sales to do really, really well so you could do your job really well. Mm-hmm. What are some of those elements that you found that are common across companies that you can, that allow you to execute really at a high level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need the willingness, number one, for everybody to want to be a part of the team. And that's a big part of the courting process, is really understanding do all your key leaders want to report to a fractional COO, you know, from sales to production? And you know, small businesses are, they're not that built out, you know, they're not that siloed. Everybody does work together anyway. So that's why I really enjoy small businesses. I'll get up into the, you know, 15, 20 employees as well too. But anything beyond that, that's getting into that territory where they can bring it full time in. But yeah, so you need to be, everybody needs to be on board and willing, coachable, and understand. And I think this is the, when you talk about sales and operations and processes, I was just having a conversation on a previous podcast about this because it was another sales podcast. And they said, you know, you talk operations to a sales team, it's like, ooh, it's like oil and water. Don't, you know, get out of here. Let us do our sales stuff. You go over, do your operational stuff. And I get that to a point, but every division has operations. And if you don't have good operations and you're executing on those operations, it's not going to work. So I'm not a typical process guy where I see black and white. You know, finance and process guys are pretty black and white, and there's no much in between. Mm-hmm. But I'm different. I see operations, but I also see the struggle of the, you know, I see the front end and the back end stuff, and I see it from both angles and understand that, we got to empower people. We got to empower salespeople to make decisions on the fly, to be able to make decisions that are best interest, of the company, and, but also attract the right people. And sometimes that kind of steps outside of what we've got documented sometimes. And that's okay if we can justify it and we can all be working towards the same goal, mission and vision, then that's the name of the game. That's my 10X strategy for companies is to empower people to think like owners and executive leaders. If everybody's doing that, and not everybody's going to be an owner, not everybody's going to be an executive leader, but if they can think that way to an extent, they're going to make bigger decisions and be able to carry more weight and load for the company and grow the company. So I love salespeople. I mean, I was a recruiter for so many years. That's a sales position. And mm-hmm. I'm on the front end trying to tell the people on the back end, hey, we need this. You know, we've got to be more agile to offer this because they're not coming without it. You know, so salespeople are on the front lines of innovation. They're like every call is a test call. Every call is a case study. And they provide valuable information that operations needs, you know, the production operations need that production team to innovate and to always be on the cutting edge and be competitive.
Is your best salesperson, as an operational guy, is your best salesperson, I'm going to create a complete dichotomy, but the person that follows the processes again and again and again to a T, or the person that is able to innovate and lead on behalf of the business?
Yeah, that's a tough question. Again, I think you have to have a little bit of both. I mean, people that sell have no idea about the product and what goes into creating and running and executing the system or the product. They're just wasting people's time. They may get people to the foot of the to the door, but they're not going to stay. They may get them on a short contract, but they're going to be out the door. And then on the same side, if you have process people that don't understand what it takes to push the envelope a little bit and really get what the customer wants, then they're going to be unsuccessful too. So that's just the power of the team together. You've got to see the different personalities and submit to one another and say, okay, this person's going to push it a little bit here, but this person's going to keep me on track too. And there's a constant tension that's not going away, by the way. That tension, if it's a good growing company and thriving company, that tension's going to be there. And mm-hmm. we have to manage that tension with good communication and trust, or else it's just not going to work.
I'm glad you answered the way you did, because I set it up as a false dichotomy, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's you're dead on. It is an art and a science, right? You have to be able to be self-disciplined. The science of it is the self-discipline and the process, mm-hmm. and to be able to continually do things so you can then dive in and figure things out from a data perspective. The art of it is that relational art, is being able to hold a conversation, talk with somebody, understand who they are, what they need, how they need it, and dive in. So I'm really, really pumped that you answered that, because there's very, talk to tons of operations people, and some of them say, no, they have to follow the process, else I won't get good data. Or some are like, nah, some don't even look at sales. Some is like, oh, sales is a mystery. Just let it go.
it's its own thing. They just do what they want to do. Yeah. That's a recipe for disaster. It's hard. That's why I'm convinced a lot of people just don't want to approach it, because it is too hard and it is too tension filled, and people don't like tension. They don't like conflict, and I don't either, but I've learned the value, not bad tension, not bad conflict, but healthy conflict and tension, to say, okay, can we please just take a step back here and look at what's going on? And I think good salespeople, if they're really worth their salt, they want good data too. They want to see what's going on. They want to see how effective they are. They want to keep data on themselves, but they also want to see the data in the product development and delivery stage, because then they can have social proof to say, look, this works. You know, and then it's not you trying to convince the client. It's just saying, it's just plugging, you know, those or connecting the dots, like I said earlier. So, yeah, but a lot of people, man, they just don't want to deal with it. And so they think that they're okay without dealing with it, but it's not.
Well, where you're entering businesses is fascinating to me, especially because you're looking at businesses that are, have a growth mindset, right? So you're entering a businesses at some of the hardest point to execute, because they're generally under-systemed, under-process. There's too few processes, too few systems. A lot of weight is placed on a founder and the founder's ingenuity, or the product and the product ingenuity. They're trying to grow, but what I've always seen there is, you're right, the best things that you could possibly do is you start to build a culture that can overlook everything that we don't have, right? And be on the bus, and then build the people into leaders that can one day create what we do need for that expansion. So to that point, what are some of the biggest challenges that you find going into organizations of this size and saying, all right, it's time. You guys have committed to me. You've committed to growth. Here's the first, you know, what are some of the biggest challenges that you're finding on an ongoing basis besides just revenue?
Yeah, it is having a system. It is having core processes. Start at the very beginning, a clear and compelling mission and vision, and then systems and processes, core processes that support that. It's really funny, because you'll have so many people that want to come in and have this really great flowery mission statement, but then it doesn't connect back. Anything you do, they do don't connect back. So, or doesn't connect back. So that's a real challenge. And just bringing people together for that common goal and that common mission. But everybody's real protective, you know, especially with an outside person coming in. That's why I really like to do just one small job for somebody, you know, just kind of get to know some of the people a little bit, see if it's going to be a good fit for me or the company. Because I get it. I've worked with a lot of consultants, a lot of outside groups that come in, and there's immediate tension there, because it's like, well, I guess we failed, so you got to come in here and help us, you know? So there's a lot of that going on. But yeah, it's just, I think the biggest thing is, outside of that, the mission and vision and system to support it, is communication. I just don't know how to communicate well and be accountable the next step too. So mission, vision, communication, accountability. Those are hard, and those are soft skills. Those are intangibles that I really bring to the table. A lot of people will come in, again, process guys are black and white. They want to come in and say, hey, this is where we're going to do it. You're in or you're out, you know, beat it. I'm different. I'm a coach. So I want to see if I can raise the level of commitment and accountability up. If not, you know, there's a thing that I've heard years ago in coaching. There's a train them or trade them deadline. You know, you give yourself first if you're going to really look out for people's best interest and the company, because opportunity costs are no joke. Let's train the people we got as best we can, then make a decision from there. Hopefully we'll be better company for it. We'll be better people, human beings for that, to invest on the human side first before we try to make big turnover changes. And I think that's what everybody's worried about when you come in, is, oh, he's COO. I'm going to lose my job. Well, no, you're not. If you're willing to work hard and be a part of an accountable system, then you're just fine. You know, we're looking for people that want to raise the level, not suck a paycheck out of this company. And so I'm here to help in that way, because then everybody prospers. I love win-win situations. That's what I'm about.
And that is some of the, regardless of the leader that I'm talking to, that is coming up, right? And it's coming up stronger and stronger and stronger over the past. I know it's always been there. It's having a strong culture, having a strong ability to invest in people. I found in the sales realm is over the past 15, 20 years is that the roles that salespeople were expected to play got drastically reduced in the name of efficiency and effectiveness, and not in the name of building leaders and promoting people. And that's been an issue. I think the sales industry itself has been fighting against. It's like you get a bunch of AA ball players and you just put them in AA and you never expect them to go to A and or AAA and then the major leagues, right? That's instead you put a bunch of AA ball players in the system and told them exactly what to do to stay as really good AA ball players. I think there's been a backlash against that in the past, and specifically since COVID, because it's found that there's been a lot of layoffs. A lot of people that thought they could be successful just going to another company are finding a big struggle because they don't fit into the culture. Their skill set is very narrow. So starting with that culture and leadership, I applaud you for that. I think that's wonderful. And I think it's the heart of building good teams. That's more me talking to hear myself talk. This is your podcast.
No, it's good. No, I love it.
I'm just seeing it. I'm hearing leaders across the board talk about that and the importance of investing in people and coaching.
Yeah, it's real easy. It's really easy to say, get another one. Just get another one in there. They're not doing a good job. You know, basketball teams do that easy. Just get another guy in there. You know, that's one thing. You know, in and off the bench is one thing, but it's a long process. And depending on the size of the process or the size of the company, it can be a really long process and a lot of money invested, especially if you're trying to train them with all the technical skills that they need to, or part of the company. It takes a good 30, maybe even sometimes 60 days before that person's really ramped up, especially on the sales side, I would think. You know, when we switched out recruiters, I dreaded that, you know, because I knew we'd be down for 30 days. They're going to instantly start talking to people, but they're not going to hit their stride, you know, because it's about relationships. And if they're brand new, they don't know any of our existing relationships. Now that's questioning our existing relationships, going, well, what's going on over there? Why are they turn over so much? Maybe I don't want to do business with them anymore. So I think on the sales side, it's more important to really invest in the training and development of the people. So they, and incentivize it, you know, keep good talent and keep them in house and really develop a pipeline so there isn't that downtime. Because we all know if you get 30 days off, you're going to be, or if you're 30 days down in the sales cycle, you're going to be 30 days down the road too. I mean, downstream, it's not a good cycle to get in. I call it the crazy cycle. Once you start cycling down with poor communication, poor work ethic, poor leadership, it's just going to be a turnstile and a carousel and nobody, people can sense that, you know, clients and customers will sense that really, really quick. There'll be a lot of negativity on the calls, underlining, even if it's not overt, and the sales will tank in a hurry. So yeah, let's invest with the people we got. Let's be positive, but let's be real. And if you want to grow, then we can get you to grow. You know, that's not a problem.
I'm reminded of this book because I just read it again over the weekend. So I'm going to share it with you and everybody on the podcast, though. Walter Crosby's a good friend of mine, but he wrote this book called The 7 Critical Mistakes CEOs Make with Their Sales Organizations. And it points to a lot of the things that we're talking about here. Like, he talks a lot about the talent, investing in talent, tying that talent to your vision, understanding it the right thing, making the vision clear, telling the truth, being able to truly tell things that are extremely simple and so hard to do.
Yeah.
So hard to do. And thank you for being a leader that stands up for those things that are simple, but are hard to do. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I appreciate that too. That's fun. to get the accountability incentives in place to create win-win situations, because that's what drives people to want to do the right thing and to work the best. Does it always happen? No, it's not 100% foolproof. We're human. We make mistakes. We get selfish. But the more we can be transparent with our people and know that we're there for them, they're good. And we know that if we're there for their good, they're going to work, show up for our good. You know, it's just a, it's a great cycle. So it's that's what makes business fun, right?
It's coaching. Like, you're in your heart, man. You're a coach.
There it is. Absolutely. It's a, yeah, when it comes down to it, we can all be better. We all need a coach. And I'm excited to do that for business owners, small business owners and their teams.
Well, how do people, Ryan, how do people find you if they listen to this and want to get in touch?
Yeah, simplest way, Three Sparrows ES, the number 3SparrowsES.com. On LinkedIn, there's a lot of Ryan Johnsons out there. Just search Three Sparrows Executive Services. You can find me there. I post daily. Got a newsletter, a lot of free value, like I mentioned before. I just want to show people, hey, you can do this. And you can do this with or without me, whatever you need. I'm here for you.
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate being your partner. And absolutely, this has been an awesome. Thank you for coming on this podcast, because I know it's a sales podcast, but we're attacking it from a lot of different elements in this episode. And I know that'll be really valuable to all the listeners. So any last words? It. Any final words for the pod? Not last words, but final words for the pod?
Yeah. Yeah. So whatever you do, sales teams, operations teams, whatever, serve first. You know, lead with integrity. And serve your people well, your customers, your workers, your sales team. Serve first, and things are going to work out. And I really appreciate the opportunity, Paul, to be here.
Excellent. Well, with that, that's the good word from Ryan Johnson. Thank you very much for coming. And everybody, thank you so much. Keep shining bright out there. And we'll end today's episode of the Art and Science of Complex Sales. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Art and Science of Complex Sales. Please take a moment, like, subscribe, share this podcast on all your favorite platforms, and let's get the word out. This podcast is proud to be brought to you by Membrane.com. We are the world's top B2B sales platform. And in the world of B2B sales, with everything from prospecting to business acquisition to managing complex growth, Membrane has the right size technology for your sales team. Our latest innovation, the Coaching Cockpit, empowers your leaders, managers, and team with the information and tools they need to take their skills to the next level and to take advantage of the exponential power of effective sales coaching. With our technology and the top team of sales partners around the world, Membrane is helping to achieve our driving vision. This is, quite simply, elevating the sales profession. To learn more, find us at www.membrane.com. That is membrain.com, or contact us via email at sales@membrane.com. Keep shining bright and have a wonderful day.